Okay, today's daf is Trumas daf Samach Zayin, and we are on Samach Vav Mabez, and we read the Mishnah. We had the Mishnah yesterday relating to cases that one might not have to pay the regular Karen Chomesh and making it Chul Musukanim. We spoke about a couple of cases giving it to children, which again, we didn't do justice to that sugya about the Maisa Aveira of a Katan, but that was a discussion of the Bar Tanura and the Tosfos Yantif on the Mishnah. But we did have a machlokas in the Mishnah about the status of a Bas Kohen. Again, what was the case in the first half of the Mishnah? A Bas Kohen got married to Yisrael, so the Bas Kohen can no longer eat Truma. No longer eat Truma. She was able to eat Truma all her life. She gets married. She can no longer eat Truma. Right? The other way, of course, is she can. If she was a Bas Yisrael that marries a Kohen, so Midaraisa, Kinyan Kaspo, she can now eat Truma. But this is the other case, right? She can no longer eat Truma. And then she eats Truma. Once she marries a Yisrael, she forgets her whole life she was eating Truma. And all of a sudden she eats Truma. So what is she considered? She's married to a Kohen. So is she a Bas Kohen that can no longer eat Truma? Or is she no longer a Bas Kohen, halakhically? Right, so that seems to be the issue in the Mishnah. So the Tanakhama says that if she, well, the first part of the Mishnah says that if she gets married, that she pays the Karen, but she does not pay the Chomesh. She does not pay the Chomesh because she is a Bas Kohen, and it's possible that she could return to her previous state. Right, if she, her husband dies and she has no children, then she goes back and she can eat Truma again. So that is, that impacts her present status. The fact that she used to be able to eat Truma, and she maybe in the future could eat Truma, that impacts her present status, and therefore she is called still called a Bas Kohen. She's still called a Bas Kohen, and therefore she has halachas that do not apply to a Zara. And that number one, she doesn't pay Chomesh. If she eats the Truma by accident, she doesn't pay the Chomesh, and her Misa is Dafke. If she's Mizana, then her Misa is Besreifa. But what happens if she marries one of the Psulim? Nisa is Le'echam and Apsulim. Maybe I'll mention Mesha Chachma in Shmos. What if she marries one of the Psulim? So then, and then she can no longer, right? Then she's, there's no future anymore for her in Truma. Even if her husband dies, she can no longer eat Truma because she was Nivala Lepasala. So this is Lechem and Apsulim, Mishalem es Karen v'chomesh u'misasa b'chenek. Divrei Rabbi Meir. But her, then she is considered, according to Rabbi Meir, she's considered basically a Bas Yisrael. Right? Her Misa is b'chenek like a Bas Yisrael, and she has to be the Karen of the Chomesh. That's Rabbi Meir. Meir says, once she's Nivala Lepasala, and there's no future for her to eat Truma, so then she does not. And the Chachamim say no. The Chachamim say, even in that case, once a Bas Kohen, oh, well, he's always a Bas Kohen. And therefore, the Rabbanan say your status doesn't change. Zu vazu. Even if she is Nivala Lepasala, she still doesn't lose her total status, and therefore, she retains some of her, a vestige of her earlier status, even though she can no longer eat Truma. So, the Gemara here wonders what is the source for that. What is the source for that halacha? So says the Gemara. Let's read this machlokas first. By the time of Rabbi Meir, why does Rabbi Meir say that once she's nivala lepasala, so then she no longer is considered a bas kohen, and she has all the halachas of Izara, ki sechel is nos es aviha. Es, and we change the girsa. Es sheru'uya lachzer lebeis aviha. Whoever is ra'ui to return to her father's house, yatzazazu she'ena ru'i lachzer lebeis aviha. So when it talks about in the context of a unique halachas of a bas kohen, right, she gets sreifa because she techa liznos beis aviha. That's only somebody who could be right to go back to beis aviha. But if she's not ready to go back to beis aviha, then she's not called, she's not included in that parsha. Not included in that parsha. Says the Gemara, niseis lekasher vizinsa. But one second. What if they have a regular Bas Kohen who married a man? So we're saying that case, a Bas Kohen that marries Yisrael, everybody agrees still has the status of a Bas Kohen if she eats Truma. Meaning, she can't eat Truma, but she doesn't pay the Chomesh, and she doesn't get, and she gets Sreifa. So a regular woman. But once she's Mizana, and she's Chayef as Misa for that, so then she is not able to go back to eat Truma. Niseis l'kasher v'zitza harihu ru'uya, l'achsel l'beis aviyah. Can she go back to beis aviyah? Meaning she can't. Meaning so there should never be a case. There should never be a case where she would get sreifa, because the second that she's mizana, she's nivala lepasala, and therefore she can't eat truma. So by kadun, how do you answer that question? So the Gemara says, no. It's excluding that maisa aveira. Ki sechel lesnos, right? The pasuk says when she is mizane and she strays, then she gets strafe as a bas kohen. And we darshin es shechilula machmas haznus velo chilula machmas nisuin. The chi of srefa is only by one who is mechulal because of this act. If she becomes mischala because of this act, then she gets srefa. Meaning, up until now, she had the status of a bas kohen. Of course, right now, she's mischalelis herself. But that's not excluded. It means if she was up until now, okay, potentially returning to her father's house, so then she's called a bas kohen for this halacha. So that's the shita of Rebbe Meir. But if she is nivel al apasala before, and let's say she marries someone who she's not allowed to marry, so then she's no longer called a bas kohen for these halachas. She can never eat truma again, and therefore she would get chenek, and she would have to pay the chomesh. So that's all Rebbe Meir. Again, Rebbe Meir, the first sheet in the Mishnah says, once she's nisseis lechem and apsulim, then she is no longer called a bas kohen for any halacha. What about the Rabbanan? My time is Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say that she still is. Once she's a bas kohen, she's always a bas kohen, right? And she can't break that in terms of this halacha. My time at the Rabbanan, why do the Rabbanan say that she's going to get srefa even in these cases? Bas ish kohen, mikol makom. Bas ish kohen means mikol makom. In any, regarding any halacha, she stays that status. Mayata va'afilu chalala mikana. We change the girsa, right? So what about if she's a chalala from birth? Maybe you should say she has the bas kohen status even if she is a chalala, meaning what if a kohen marries a grusha? If a kohen marries a divorcee, he's not allowed to marry a divorcee. That offspring, if it's a man, a boy is a chalal, a girl is a chalala. So you're going to tell me there too, that, oh, what's a bas kohen? Right, she's a bas kohen, so would you say that too? And nobody seems to include that. We'll see somebody who does. But nobody seems to include that. So the Gemara says, no. Tana, Rabbi Chinina, Bar Papa, Kumi, Rabbi Zeira, to Rabbi Ishmael, es avia hi machalalas. She gets the status only if she defiles herself because of what she did, not because of what her father did. If it's because of what her father did, making her a chalala, so then that's not included in the parsha. So it's an exclusion, even though the Rabbanan agree that niseis le'echem and apsulim, she's still called a bas kohen, but if she was born a chalala, then she's not called a bas kohen. Then she's not called the bas kohen. And the Gemara just adds on one halacha, but there is a sheet out there that argues. Amar Rabbi Chanina, shona ani al Rabbi Yishmael, afilu chalala mikana. Even a chalala from birth. Wow. She's still called a bas kohen for this halacha, meaning if a kohen marries a grusha and they have a girl who is a chalala, she still has the status of bas kohen for these halachas, meaning she can't eat truma, but she would have to pay chomesh, and her misa would be bisreifa. Okay, she would not have to. I'm sorry, she would not have to pay chomesh, and her misa would be bisreifa. Good. So regarding this idea of nivala lepasola and niseis lecha mikol apsulim, so I mentioned yesterday but just now to see it, the Meshech Chachman, in Parshas Beshalach, quotes this halacha, related halacha, in a totally different context that we would never have imagined. There is a big question in the Gemara. It's a machlokas tanoim, amoraim, rishonim, and the Rambam weighs in on the issue in Hilchos Beis HaBechira about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Kedusha Rishona, the Rambam paskins, the first time Bnei Yisrael went in with Yoshua Ben Nun, that Kedusha was not everlasting. That Kedusha evaporated when we went into Galus. Kedusha Rishona, Kitshel Ashaita, Velo Kitshel Asilavo. While the second time that we went in, when we went in with Ezra Hasofer, so then that Kedusha was everlasting. Kedusha Rishona, Kitshel Ashaita, V'Kitshel Asilavo. Once most of the Jewish people left, maybe for other reasons, it was batal for Zeren Mitzvahs, but that's the Rambam Shita, right? And the Rambam explains that the first Kedusha was based on what he called Kibush, conquering, and we went in and conquered the 31 kings, and once that was Bata, once we were conquered and we were exiled, so then the Kedusha didn't last. But the second Kedusha was based on Chazaka, was based on settlement, and therefore that Kedusha stays forever. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. And all the Mefarshim, starting already with the Kesef Mishnah, what's the difference? Why should Kibush be Batel and Chazaka be everlasting? And then he says the Chazaka was also based on Kibur, so what's the difference? So he doesn't really like any of the answers. There are many answers given to this question, but most of the answers, Rav Soloveitchik has a couple of answers, most of the answers are talk about and explain how the second Kedusha was somehow stronger, right? And that's why it lasted. Right, if you kibush, you know, it's you're fighting. But the second chazakah, you were given permission by the umos ha'olam to settle there. So they all explain how the second one is stronger, and that is why it is everlasting. The Meshech Chachma here says exactly the opposite. The first kedusha is, so to speak, on a higher level and more intense. But the Meshech Chachma says, because of that, it's more fragile. Because it's on a higher level of Kedusha, it was with the Aron and Yeshua ben Nun. So because of that, the greater it is, the harder they fall, so to speak. It was like if you have a balloon, the bigger the balloon, the greater pop it makes when you pop it. Right? So how does he get that? And that's why the first one that has such intense Kedusha, once that was Batel, so then it was totally lost. Unlike the second Kedusha, it wasn't such a high Kedusha anyway. In the second Beis HaMikdash, you were missing the five things. The Gemara and Yuma says they didn't have the Aron, they didn't have the Shechinah. So therefore, when it was lost, it wasn't totally lost. And he brings a mashal. He brings a mashal, a halachic context to that has to do with us. Which again, you look at this Gemara, you wouldn't think that it has anything to do with it. But the Gemara in Bechoros, Daf Mem Zayin. The Gemara there says, a Levia, a Bas Levi, that was Nivala Lapasala, that had Bia with someone who's not allowed to marry to, she could still eat Maaser Rishon. She could still eat Maaser Rishon. But a Kohenes, a Bas Kohen, that's Nivala Lapasala, Havi La Kizara. She's like a Zara. Meaning, she doesn't even go down to the level of Bas Levi. She's like a Yisraelis. Say, that's the Meshech Chachma. Why is that? The Afilu Kedushas Leviya Pakimimena. If she's a Bas Kohen, that's included in Sheva Levi, so let her go down one notch. Let a Bas Kohen lose her status as a Kohen, she goes down to a Bas Levi. No. Once she loses her status as a Bas Kohen, she loses everything. Unlike a Bas Leviya, who could still eat Maaser Rishon. So, that's what he says. He says, the V'hieno Senes, Kohenes de Kaddish Gufa Pasula. Halo Kaddish Gufa Lo Pasula. And then that's one exam, one case. And then he quotes another one, again, he goes, two Gemaras. How this genius reads Shas. And then he quotes the Gemara Shabbos, Kufte Zayin. The book talks about the kedusha of a cloth of Torah. Makam aksav lo kami boyli tchi kadosh agav ksavu de kadosh oz laksav oz lakdushasa. The Gemara has a line that says if you have a Torah that got erased, so if the area that got erased, so that for sure does not have kedusha anymore if the Torah got erased. The question is, what about the margins? The margins in between the columns, does that have kedusha? That never had letters. So the Gemara says, but that might have Kedusha, because it never had letters that were lost. The letters, the place where the letter was, those were erased. So maybe once it was erased, it loses the Kedusha totally, while the margins never lost anything. So maybe that has a certain level of Kedusha higher than the spots where the letters were erased. Same thing, where you had more intense Kedusha, or more intense of a status, once it's lost, it loses everything. Unlike the margins, which is the Bas Levi, that's different. So he uses these two contexts, and that's what he says. He explains this Rambam. V'nimsa, the kibush, Eretz Yisrael, ha'yai de ha'aron. The first kibush was through the Aron. V'chein be'beis ha'migdash, ha'yai de gilu shechina. V'lachin, it was so intense, that kedusha. V'lachin ki chatu Yisrael, paka kedushas on legamre. So that's why when Bnei Yisrael sinned, the kedusha was totally paka. V'avi ki'ilu lo nechbishu. The second bias wasn't through the Aron. Shalohaya Aron. Shalohaya Shechina. Kemosha Amri quotes the Gemara that I just referred to in Yuma at the end of the first parak. Im Kain lo havi kedusha baro malad ki tifka miashimamon vachurban. So the kedusha wasn't so high that it would be totally destroyed. V'lachein adayin hein b'kedushas an kayamim. V'havei k'levia, like a levia, shenivala labilas nus, t'lo nifka kedushas levia. Pretty amazing. And that's, he says that all on the pasuk of Ad Yavaram Chashem, Ad Yavaram Zu Kanisa. So that relates to Nivala Pasula, which is what we're talking about here in our Mishnah, when a Bas Kohen marries one of the Psula. Okay, we continue now. V'hataninan. So what did we just say? That it could be that a Bas Kohen, even what the Mishnah say, a Bas Kohen who gets married, she eats Truma by mistake, everybody agrees. If it's a kosher marriage, everybody agrees that she does not pay Chomesh. Because you still consider a Bas Kohen that might one day go back to eating Truma. If she's Nivala L'Pasula, that's a Machlokas Tanan.
So Vatanina, but one second, says the Gemara, the Mishnah later on in Daf Ayin, in a couple of days. The Mishnah there discusses a case where a Kohen is eating, let's say she's eating, and she finds out, she realizes that she is not allowed to be eating the Shruma. If you look at the Mishnah later on, the Mishnah says at the beginning of the next parak, Ha'isha shehi ocheles aisa ocheles b'shruma. A woman's eating Shruma. And she's a Bas Kohen that's married to a Yisrael, or the opposite. Oh, your husband died. She finds out in the middle of eating that she's not allowed to be eating. So what's the halacha? What's the halacha in that case? Or a Kohen finds out that he's a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza. So that's all next parak, sugyas. So Vataninan, what is the halacha? Rabbi Elazar, Machayev Karen V'chomesh. Rabbi Elazar says, she's Chayev Karen V'chomesh. Why? Because she finds out that she wasn't allowed to be eating. So she's like a Bas Yisrael, and therefore she has to be Karen V'chomesh. Rabbi Yeshua Poter. Rabbi Yeshua says he's putter. So the Havamina here is, Rabbi Yeshua says putter totally, maybe she's even putter from paying the Karen, right? That's the Havamina. She's putter legamre. And then that would be not like any of the Tanam in our Mishnah, right? In our Mishnah, at least one of them says you pay the Karen, or the other one says you still pay the Karen in the Chomesh even. Nobody says don't pay anything. So how can Rabbi Yeshua say that? That's against both Tanam and our Mishnah. So two answers. Havibon Meimar, Ma Pligin. No, no, no. We're on this misunderstanding. Ma Pligin B'chomesh. The Machlokas there on Daf Ayin is only about the Chomesh. Avo B'Karen Rabbi Yeshua Moda. But of course Rabbi Yeshua says you pay the Karen. And that would be like the Chachamim in our Mishnah. Right? Like against Rabbi Meir. That you still pay the, of course you pay the Karen. Just don't pay the Chomesh. Or another answer. Ma Pligin Lisha Avar. The machlokas is only about what she ate before she found out that she was a chalala. So that was a total ones. She didn't know anything. So there, that's where Rabbi Yeshua would say that she doesn't pay anything. Because she was a total ones. And maybe some of the Tanaim in our Mishnah would agree to that too. Avalavo, afil Rabbi Yeshua moda. No, but in future eatings, now that she knows, so now even Rabbi Yeshua can be moda to either of the opinions in our Mishnah. So the difference in the two answers of the Gemara is whether the Rabbi Shua has to be like the Chachamim, or he could even be like Rabbi Meir. Period. Next. Hamachlas banav katanim esavada v'chulu. So what did the Mishnah say on yesterday's daf? If somebody gives Shuma to their young children, or to their Eved. If somebody gives Shuma to their Eved, so we assume an Eved has no money, right, of his own. Mashakana Eved kana rabo. So what did the Mishnah say? Pater. Mishnah says that the Karen has to be paid, Pasha's by the owner, by the Adon, but you don't pay the Chomesh, because the owner didn't eat the Chomesh. Didn't eat the Truma, that would be Mechayev the Chomesh. So Amachal, as one of Ezekhtanav, as Avodah v'chulu, lo hispik l'shalim, achin ishtachrer, what if the Adon didn't pay, right, the Adon has to pay, the Karen. He gave Truma to his Eved, so he has to pay the Karen, and the Chomesh is Pater, because Chomesh goes by the eater, and the Eved has no money. So if he freed his Eved before he paid the Kohen, no saying then the Eved has to pay the Karen and the Chomesh. Right, there is a Chiyuv Chomesh conceptually here, but it just can't be paid, because the Eved has no money. But once the Eved gets freed, so then the Eved himself can pay the Karen and the Chomesh. Or, let's say the Eved does have property that the Baal, the Eved, has no Rishus. Maybe somebody was maknet to the Eved properties that were on Tznai that the Adon has no Rishus in. So, no saying, then also, then the Eved, even at the time, could pay. Heich Avida, what about this case? What about the following case? Ruvain shegazal mishimon. Ruvain stole from Shimon. The Hachilo Levi. Reuven stole Truma from Shimon and gave it to Levi. Levi realizes, I ate Truma by accident. So Levi pays Shimon. Levi pays what he's supposed to do, Chulin Misukanim. Levi pays Chulin Misukanim to Shimon. And then what? And the question is, Yatza Yedei Gzelo? Has he been Yotze his payment? Meaning what? Look at Rav Chaim Kanievsky for a moment. Reuven shegazal mishimon v'achilo Levi. Again, Reuven stole from Shimon. Truma. Gave it to Levi. And then, at that moment, Reuven is chayiv to pay the Karen. Like in our Mishnah, with the Katan and the Eved. Reuven is chayiv to pay the Karen because of Gzela. And Levi has to pay the Chomesh. He has to pay Tashlume Truma. What happened if Levi pays Shimon? Was Reuven Yotze his payment of Gezel? Yotze de Gzela? What's the question of Chaim Kanievsky? Mi yatsa Ruven yideg zela b'tashlumei Levi. Is Ruven off the hook now? Is Ruven off the hook because Levi paid Shimon? Levi, remember, Ruven stole from Shimon, gave it to Levi, and then Levi paid Shimon the tashlumei truma. So is Ruven off the hook now? O Dilma or Yachol Shimon lachzer al Ruven letvoz gzelo. Shimon already got paid for his truma, but Shimon could go back to Ruven and say, no, you stole from me, you owe me. What I got paid was tashlumei truma. It wasn't a chov for the keren. So could Shimon, who already got paid from Levi for the truma, could he go back to Ruvain? That's the question. Yotzi degzelo? Was he yotze or not? So the Gemara answers, Tiflukta de Rebchia Rabba of Reb Yanai. Seems to be a machlokas between Rebchia the Great and Reb Yanai. This palgun, because we have the following machlokas, Gozal mafaraso. Remember, Sugi is in the end of Baba Kama. Gozal. But even before we do that, the Pnei Moshe adds, and the same kind of question would be on our Mishnah. The same kind of question. Meaning, what did we just say? If the Adon gives his Eved Truma, and then he frees his Eved, so the Eved pays. So the Eved, at that point, pays. What if the Eved pays? Could the person go back to the Adon and get paid again? That's the same kind of question. Meaning, is the payment for the Truma, does that cover like the Gezel also? Or is it not looked at as Gezel? And that's what the Pnei Moshe here says. Ubimasisa nami ki agamna. Tahabala bayis hu agazlan. Shigazala chuma mi kohen. Vechilo la avdo. Vika amrit im nishtachar evid hu mishalim. And you say that if the evid was free, he pays. Vichi yotze abala bayis hu degzelo mashi mishalim o evid. Is the balabayis yotze? What's the evid pays after he's freed? Is the balabayis off the hook? That's a machlokas. So this palgun gazla mafara social zevin asol azeh. Similar kind of case. Somebody steals a coat and gives it to someone else. Right? Somebody steals and then gives it to someone else. What is the, and this is all, let's assume, before Yeush. Not getting into Yeush issues. So somebody steals. Sir Belazar, B'shem Reb Chiya Rabba, Mosiya Min Arisha, Me Mosiya Min Asheni. The Nigzal could only go to the real Goslin. He can't go to the person who has his coat now. He can only go to the real, because the second one didn't steal. The second was not a Goslin. Right? And therefore, if you say that, so the second one is not called a Goslin, and we assume now, let's say he would give it back. Let's say the person who has the coat now would give it back. That's not called a payment for the Gzela. Because he's not a Goslin. So that's the Gemara's suggestion, at least now in the Havamina. Even if the person, the Lokeach, or whoever has it now, pays back, it doesn't work, and then the first Goslin is still chayef to pay. Still chayef to pay. Because the tashlumen of the sheni would not be fulfilling the chov of the rishon. So that's one. Or, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishem Rabbi Yanai, Abosim and Hasheni, Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Yanai, no, you can even go to the second one. If A steals and gives it to B, so the nigzal could go to A or B. Which shows that when B gives it back, that is called a fulfillment of the obligation of the gzela. So isn't that a machlokas? Isn't this a machlokas amaram? So too in our cases, the case of the gzela and the truma. So wouldn't it be a parallel? So the Gemara says, no. No, come on. When it says that you can't go to the second, somebody stole something from me and gave it to someone else. I can't go to that person and get my thing back. Of course. No, the point is that I don't, that other guy doesn't have to give it back to me. It's not his chiv of Gnev or Gzela because he didn't steal it. But of course, if he does give it back to me, of course that's a fulfillment of the giving back of the Gzela. And the first one has already been Yotze, right? That person might have to be able to go back to Reuven to get his money back if he gave him money. That's what the Gemara it rejects. V'yavrim chiyah rabba modi. Mikiva shenitna lo levi yotze bede gzelo. Right? Once it's given, he's Yotze for sure. Right? Look at Reb Chaim Knievsky again. Avrim chiyah yotze de gzelo. V'lo amma rebi chiyah ela deina yachol ligvos min hasheni. Reb Chiyah just means that you can't go. The nigzal cannot go to the sheni to try to get it. The yachol sheni litchoso itzla rishon. Zesha gazalo. If somebody comes to me and you could say, I didn't steal anything from you. This is your coat? I'm sorry, but I didn't steal it from you. Go to the gazlan. And the gazlan will have to figure out a way to get it back. Aval ilu paralo pshita. But if he does pay it back, pshita. Chazra gzela labayalim v'yasa rishon de gzela. The first one, for sure, he was yosh de gzela if the coat's if the colt went back. So that is a potential machlokas amoraim, but then we say, no, it is not, not a machlokas. Okay, the issue of geneva and gzela here is a big topic. We'll see if we have a chance to get back to it at some point. Right, the Gemara here talks about gzela. What is the difference, the root difference? I think we discussed this recently. Right, the Gemara in Baba Metzia, Daf Ayin Tes, in the Bavli discusses the difference is just public versus private. Right? A gazlan, the Gemara says, is public. Like you go and you grab something from somebody. Right? Robbery. While, geneva is usually in stealth. In the private. That's why geneva is worse, because geneva cares more about people than about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A gazlan is equal. He doesn't care about people. He doesn't care about Hashem. He steals in the broad daylight. But a ganav doesn't. A ganav does it in stealth. Right? So then, ganav is worse. But it's not so clear. It's not so clear, because there are examples. Let's say a sholeach yad v'pikadon. The Gemara says it's a gazlan, right? If I have I'm watching something of yours and I use it illegally, so I become a gazlan, even though I might have used it in private. So it's not so clear that a geneva is in private and a gazlan is in public, right? Sometimes you can have cases of gazela that are in private. So there's got to be something more there, which hopefully we'll get back to. But let's do the next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah. For the rest of the Amud. Shtei kufos, achas al shuvah. So now we're changing worlds. We're changing worlds. The first part of this perek, the first two mishnayos were about, eating truma b'mezid, eating truma b'shogeg, right, relating to the previous perek and how much you have to pay. Okay, different cases now. We had this once, I think quoted earlier. Shtei kufos, achas al shuvah, achas al chulin. I have two boxes in my house. One of chulin and one of truma. Shenafla sashal shuvah lotoch achas mayen. Oivei, truma fell into one of these boxes. Venya dua leizame enafla. I don't know where the truma fell. Did the truma fall into the truma? And that would be okay. Or did the truma fall into the chulin? Says the Mishnah, hare ani omer, l'tok shol truma nafla. I could assume the lakula. I could assume that the truma fell into the truma, and my chulin is still mutter for Yisraelim. The pashtus is, the mafarshim explained, this is based on the fact, savi drabana lakula. We must be talking about Truma Durabanan in some way. Either because Truma Bismanazez Durabanan, A, or B, maybe it fell into the each of these boxes is still a rove against the Truma that fell in. And remember we learned earlier, the fact that you need more than rove, you need 1 to 100, that's a Din Durabanan. So once it's rove, so then it's Durabanan, and here, where you have a suffix about it, then we would be able to be makel. So either way, the Mishnah says, you're not sure where the truma fell into, you can assume the truma. Ein yadua ezehi shal truma veezehi shal chulin. But what happens if you have two boxes? You're not sure which one is truma, which one is chulin. You're not sure which is which. Achalas achas mehen patur. What if I eat from one of the boxes? I'm patur. If I eat something, I'm not sure if I eat truma or not. I'm not sure if I eat truma or not. So I'm patur. Why am I patur? Why am I patur? So, says the Marafolda, Pater, the Shema Chulin Achal. Maybe he ate Chulin. The Chayeves, well, let's continue the Mishnah first. So, right, because maybe I didn't, why am I going to have to pay? Right, that's, maybe I ate Chulin. Vashni Anoi Bakitruma, and the other box I still have to eat, consider Truma. The Chayeves Bachala Devere Meir, but I have to always be Machmir. If you're not sure what Truma is, you have to treat it like Chulin, you have to treat it like Truma. So you can't eat it, and you have to treat it like Truma, but it's also Chayev and Chala. Right, because maybe it's chulin, and therefore, so the mayor said you have to be choshesh on all sides. Reb Yossi poter, Reb Yossi says, no. Since you don't know which is which, you treat it like meduma, and therefore machlokas tanaim. And Reb Yossi says meduma is pater from chala. Right, that's, we had that machlokas earlier. That's Reb Yossi. There is a Rambam, an important Rambam again, but the Rambam says, like quotes our Mishnah. That if somebody eats safek truma, they're pater. Why? Their Rambam adds, habosi bechaver olav araya. Right? The concept of muchsak. Concept of muchsak. The Rambam in Perek Yud, halacha yudal and hilchos shumas. Ochal zar is achas mehen. If a zar eats something, that's safek truma, safek chulin, harayze pater menatashlumin. Shamosi bechaver olav araya. Mosi olav araya. The Mishnah Melach here quotes the Tosfos that we mentioned in the past. But what I mean, isn't paying for truma kapara? And the Kohen can't even be mochel, we had earlier. So the Tosfos says, you're right. In Ochinami, when it says pater here, it means that you have to be mafresh chulin misukanim. But you don't have to give it to the Kohen. You could sell it to the Kohen. Because he has to prove that it's he has rights to it. But the Rambam never mentions that. The Rambam never mentions that you have to do that. So the Mefarshim point out that the Rambam seems to say, like the other Rishonim, the Rash and others, that no, maybe it's not a kapara payment. It's not fully kapara. Pater here means pater. Doesn't mean they have to be mafreshit and you can keep it for yourself. But you can sell it to a Kohen. Okay, machlokas, big sugya. So we continue. If one person ate from one box and one person ate from the other box, they're both pater. Because they each ate safik truma. But what if one person ate from both boxes? So this person definitely ate truma. So mishalom ketana shebishtayan. So he has to pay the lower amount. Period. If one of these boxes, that is safik truma, fell into chulin, it does not create medume. Remember we've said, only vadai truma creates medume. But safek truma does not create medume. Again, the chumra drabana, because it was batal barov. So it does not create medume. Vashniya, but if one of them fell in, so it does not create medume. And the second one, like we said before, vashniya noi bucket truma, vachayvas bachal de Rameir. Rameir says, you're just keeping machmer across the board. Rabbi Yossi putter, Rabbi Yossi says, no, putter from chala. Nafla shniya lamaka machmer enem damaso. If one box fell into one other box and the other box fell into a different box, it's still, they're each suffering truma and it's not meduma. Naflu shteyam amakam echad. But if both of them fell into one box, then medamos, ketana shebishteyam. Then obviously there's truma in here. There's obviously truma in here, therefore it's medameya, like the ketana shebishteyam, like the lesser amount. Okay, we'll stop here by the Mishnah Zion, where it says, and the show will continue next time with being zoreya truma. We'll stop here.